Well, we praise the Lord for his faithfulness to this church. Our pastor is a gift to us, an example that we are happy to follow. And what we've been hearing this morning really is the portrait of a spiritual leader, our pastor. And folks have been sharing their remarks and their testimonies. That's natural. We each have a different memory, a different experience with Pastor Van Gelderen and Mrs. Van Gelderen. And listening to all these perspectives, we put it together and we see a multifaceted description of this man that we all know. He's not just the man behind the pulpit. We don't just listen to him from a distance. He's touched our lives. And that's what we've been hearing about this morning. And in our text for today, I think that's what we see here in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6. We see a multifaceted portrait of a spiritual leader. Malachi chapter 2, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And here in our text today, we see a single verse, but in four phrases giving us, you might say, four dimensions, a four-dimensional description of what a spiritual leader is and what he looks like, what he does and what he says. Giving us the fuller picture, a portrait from every angle. That reminds me of a time a few years back, my parents took me to visit a specialty shop in a town not far from where they live. And this was a little bit of a tourist attraction. In this shop, they had specialty items that you wouldn't find for sale anywhere else. It was full of holograms. Now, I'm not even sure if I'm describing that correctly, but they had items for sale that had holograms in them. You could see three-dimensional images in the objects. It might be a paperweight, might be a sticker, things like that. But what I most remember in that shop were the portraits. They had portraits of well-known individuals hanging on the wall, and the one that I remember clearly was a portrait of former President Ronald Reagan. Now, the item itself was two-dimensional. It just hung on the wall flat, like any portrait would, but this portrait was different. It was a hologram. It was three-dimensional. So as you looked at Ronald Reagan there on the wall, you saw the front of his face, but as you walked to this side, the portrait didn't move, but the image changed. And as you walked over here, you could see the side of his face. You could see his ear, the side of his nose. As you walk over to this side, the image would change. You could see the other side of him. If you follow what I'm saying, it was a three-dimensional image. And here in our text this morning, it's just print on the page. It's two-dimensional on our page in the Bible, and yet it gives us a four-dimensional description of who a spiritual leader is. And what I'd like to say to you this morning is our plan for today is to look at this example that's been laid out before us, make a few brief remarks about how thankful we are that our pastor lives up to this example. But more than that, I want you to take this portrait home with you, and I want you to imitate it. This is a portrait that is meant to be copied. Now, I imagine in most art museums, if you went into the display room and you tried to take a portrait off of the wall and copy it, I think it would be frowned upon. It's unique. You're not supposed to touch it or copy it. It's one of a kind. This portrait here is intended to be copied. It's intended to be reduplicated hundreds and thousands of times. And our Lord couldn't be happier if every single one of us in this room were copies of this portrait of spiritual leadership. So let's look at the four phrases in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6, and we'll have 4 points that we'll cover in the sermon this morning, making these observations about what God expects from our spiritual leadership. The verse says this, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." A four-dimensional portrait of a spiritual leader. First of all, our first point this morning, our first observation comes from the first phrase, the first description of this spiritual leader. It says, the law of truth was in his mouth. You see, the spiritual leader needs to have a biblical basis for all he is, all he says, and all he does. The law of truth was in his mouth, representing his entire lifestyle was based upon what he knew of God's word. The priest was supposed to be the messenger of God's word. You see in the following verse, right in this text, it says, the priest's lips should keep knowledge. People should seek the law from his mouth because he is the messenger. Now understand clearly, you and I have never come to God through a priest. We don't come to God through a priest today, and we never have. Not even in the Old Testament. People came to God in those days through their Redeemer. But the priest was the messenger who carried that message. And people were supposed to hear about the Redeemer from his mouth. And when they went to hear the priest speak, they should hear the law of God. But the spiritual leaders of those days were falling short, and the prophet Malachi is reminding them, this is the way spiritual leadership ought to be. When people hear you talk, they ought to hear Bible. Now, I praise God, we can say we have a pastor who, when he speaks to us, he speaks God's word. And when you come to this church, you look around you, you see the person to your left and the person to your right, they have a Bible. And the preacher encourages people to look at the Bible. It's God's word. He's meant to be the resource for biblical truth. And our pastor, our preacher, most certainly is a reference resource for any kind of Bible knowledge and theological question. It makes me chuckle because the pastor is viewed as kind of like a walking commentary. A pastor is thought of as that guy. You can stop him any time and ask him any theological question, and he's supposed to have an answer. But it's not just theology, is it? The pastor is meant to be an expert on all kinds of topics. People turn to the pastor for advice about life, financial advice, medical advice, legal advice. He's supposed to know everything about every topic. One time many years ago, I overheard a conversation in the hallway right over here. Pastor Van Gelderen was on his way to the evening service. He was getting ready to preach the message, and a good couple stopped him in the hallway and said, Pastor, we just heard this classical music piece, and we're wondering about this piece of classical music. Is this a good piece to listen to, or is this one that we should set aside and not listen to? And the man was expected to give an analysis of classical music as he was walking down the hallway. And you know what? He went ahead and did, because he's just that smart. We expect the pastor's going to give us a biblical perspective on whatever the issue of life may be. And I'm so glad our pastor does exactly that. Years ago, I knew a woman. It's a long story that I won't share right now, but she was a secretary for another kind of church, a denominational church. And as I was talking to her, she described her work responsibilities. She said one of the things she did every week as the church secretary for this denominational church, she would receive from headquarters the pastor's sermon notes for the week, and she would give them to the pastor. She would print out his sermon notes that he had received from the headquarters, and he would go ahead and preach that. I thought to myself, how is that even possible? How could a man even do that? Preach the notes that came from headquarters. Listen to me. You and I have the confidence, you and I have the wonderful privilege of knowing when we come into this room, our preacher has got a message from God, not from headquarters. And he encourages us to open our Bibles and look at God's word. Do you know how rare a privilege that is in this world? The small, small percentage of people that can go to a church where God's word is preached constantly, it's in the preacher's mouth. You might hear other comments from pastor when he teaches and preaches. He might tell a funny story. He might tell a personal bit of advice. But he's always going to give you God's word. A biblical basis. Number one, the law of truth was in his mouth. Number two, personal purity. I'm looking back at Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, this spiritual leader is described in this way. The law of truth was in his mouth. And then the second phrase, iniquity was not found in his lips. Iniquity was not found in his lips. This portrait is written out in poetic fashion. So these four phrases in this verse display a certain amount of parallelism. The phrases speak to one another. So the first phrase is telling us about the spiritual leader's character and what he is full of. He's full of God's word. And then the second phrase tells us from the reverse perspective what he is not full of. He is not full of iniquity. His life, his testimony, his character are all marked by personal purity. In this phrase it says, iniquity was not found in his lips. And the lips here are a representation of his entire being, his whole character. You know, anything that comes out of your mouth was already in your heart. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when it says iniquity was not found in his lips, it means his whole character is one of purity. He's filling himself with God's word. He is not filling himself with the things of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I quote the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul said to the Christian people in Corinth, he said, receive us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, receive us. What that means is listen to us. Respond to our ministry. Why is that, Paul? He gave us this basis. He says, we have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. The apostle's personal character and testimony was the basis for him demanding a response from his congregation. Now, make no mistake, the influence, the spiritual influence that a leader has comes from his personal purity. There is no other option. There is no other way. And I think all of us who have known Pastor Van Gelderen for some time would agree that when he challenges us to take a step of faith, he's never asking us to do something he would not do himself. In most cases, he's probably a couple of steps ahead of us. When he challenges us, we need to grow in prayer and in our personal walk. When he challenges us about taking steps forward in giving, listen, he's right there with us. He's leading from the front, not from behind. I've done a little bit of reading on the life of C.H. Spurgeon. You may recognize that name. At the time when he lived, he was probably the most well-known, most influential preacher in England. He preached to thousands of people every single week at the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle. His influence was undeniable. But where did this man come from? Do you know Charles Spurgeon? Was nothing but a country boy from a small country church who had no college education at all. And he rose to that level of prominence and influence. How did that happen? Well, I've had an opportunity to read several biographies on C.H. Spurgeon. All of his biographers agree his influence grew because of his personal purity. He was a young man who decided to commit himself 100% to God. That's where the influence came from. There is no shortcut. There is no detour. I'm afraid we're seeing in the Christian world around us a lot of Christian ministers looking for an alternate route. There must be some way around this personal purity thing. There must be some other way that I can skip that point. It can't be done. I'm thankful that God's allowed us to have a pastor who is an example that can be imitated. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, he said, be ye followers of me. The phrase is literally, be imitators of me. Imitate me. That's what I expect you to do. That's what God the Holy Spirit expects you to do. What an amazing gift to have an example that we can imitate. And what an enormous tragedy if we choose not to do so. When we hear the pastor give us words of challenge and encouragement, we say, that's fine, but as for me and my house, we're going a different way. What a loss. Personal purity. Personal purity. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not saying that the spiritual leader is never sinned or never will sin. The fact is, God doesn't give us our pastors because they are perfect. God gives us our pastors because we are not. And we need help. Moving on to the third point. We've seen already in this multifaceted portrait of a spiritual leader, we've seen that personal purity. We've seen the biblical basis for his words and his lifestyle. Point number three, his worthy walk. The verse continues on, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. A worthy walk of a spiritual leader. Now the word he in this phrase, Malachi 2 verse 6, he walked with me, that's referring to Levi. And thoughtful students of the Bible might stumble a little bit at this description. When you think of the man Levi, as his life is described there in the Old Testament, you don't really think of somebody who had a dynamic testimony of walking with God, do you? You remember the story of Levi? He's the one who murdered hundreds of men in the town of Shechem, and then he took their wives and their children and all of their possessions as his own. That is definitely not walking with God in peace. That's not peaceful. He was one of the brothers who captured their brother Joseph, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. There's nothing equitable about that. That's not fair. But do you realize in this scripture, Even though the name Levi is used, verse 4, we're referring to Levi and talking about the way the Levitical ministers should live their lives and the way that the priests should lead others. Even though the word Levi is used, it's not talking about that man, that individual. It's talking about the whole legacy of the whole family, the whole history of the tribe of Levi, saying this is what this tribe was like. Well, that still raises the question, though, doesn't it? If Levi himself was cursed, and he was cursed by his father because of his wickedness. If he himself was cursed, how did that whole family line come to be blessed? Well, to keep the story short, it was all because of one man named Phinehas. Phinehas was a Levite. He was the grandson of Aaron. In Numbers chapter 25, the story is told. Phinehas, at a critical time, a critical turning point in the nation of Israel, took a stand for God's righteousness against the wickedness that was happening in the camp. As a result of that, Jehovah himself said, because he stood for me, I will give him an everlasting covenant of life. I will give him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Now, this is one of those points that's a little bit obscure. This is the kind of thing where you can read five different commentaries on this topic and come up with seven different interpretations. People have different ideas how exactly that worked and what exactly it means, but everybody agrees it was because of Phinehas that the whole history and legacy of the tribe of Levi was changed. Because he took a stand. He was part of that family. He took a stand, and God blessed it. A worthy walk. Someone who says, I'm standing with God. If others don't understand it, it doesn't matter. I'm standing with God. What a blessing that you and I can honestly say, God has given this church a pastor who takes a stand, who says what is biblical and right, even when others are hesitant to do so. Now listen, these are the kind of things that Pastor Van Gelderen himself would not talk about. Somebody made the mistake of scheduling me to preach, so here I am. Do you know our pastor has changed the history of families by telling them what is right? At times when it was a little bit uncomfortable, do you know our pastor, by God's grace, has changed the history of churches by taking a stand for the right? And even outside of churches, Christian organizations. Our pastor, by God's grace, has spoken the word that others were hesitant to speak and changed the legacy of those organizations. Now, right now you might be thinking, Pastor Van Gelderen's a very special man. I could never hope to be like that. You are supposed to be like that. Who was Charles Spurgeon before he became the Charles Spurgeon? Just a country boy who dedicated himself to God. God's put you where you are in life. Your family, your job are meant to be changed because of your stand for the right. Any family that you know of that has a testimony for serving God today has a history of somebody who started standing for God. You can be that person. You ought to be that person. One of the very old Protestants said this, quote, my occupation is simply my way of making a living. My Christian faith is my main concern. That's you, my friend. That ought to be your testimony. No matter what walk of life you're in, that should be your testimony as well. A worthy walk that will change not only my life, but the people around me. And finally, number four, outreach to others. Outreach to others. At the end of the verse, it says this, and did turn many away from iniquity. And did turn many away from iniquity. The first half of the verse, the first two phrases, are talking about the personal characteristics of the spiritual leader. The last half of the verse, the last two phrases, are talking about his relationships. First of all, his relationship with God. Second, his relationship with others. Outreach to others. And it's appropriate by design that this phrase, this description, is at the end of the verse, because that is the end goal of the spiritual leader's walk, to impact others' lives. There's no use being pious at home in private if it doesn't change somebody else's life. It's of no value. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, I could speak with tongues like men and angels. I could give myself as a martyr and give my body to be burned. It's worthless if I don't love others. And did turn many away from iniquity. I think it was D.L. Moody who said, some people are so heavenly minded, they are of no earthly good. And I think we understand the sentiment of that phrase, but the fact is, you and I know there is no such thing as serving God without serving others. You can't do it. John told us that in 1 John. You can't say, I love God, but I hate my brother. Any kind of spiritual leadership will lead to impact in the lives of others. And I can tell you this, our pastor lives for people. He lives for people. The statistics are depressing. Depending on who you read, the average longevity of a Christian minister is something like 3, maybe 4 years on average in the pastorate. You have to take those kind of statistics with a little helping of salt. 3 or 4 years, though, is a lot different from 35. 35 years is almost miraculous, to the point where we're hearing adult people saying, Pastor Van Gelderen is the only pastor I've ever had. It's incredible. And the Lord only knows the number of phone calls that pastors take in the middle of the night. Things he wouldn't emphasize, of course, because his mind is on serving people and helping people. Personal plans altered, vacation trips cut short, because the pastor needs to be there for people. It's what the pastor does. Do y'all realize it is impossible to schedule funeral dates in advance? Did you know that? Can't be done. Pastor can't sit down a year ahead and say, you know, here's a couple of good dates for funerals. We're going to get them at a convenient time. But you know, when there's a time of loss, you know who's there? The pastor's there. He's there for the people, talking to the family, helping with the service. Unexpected illnesses, unplanned hospitalizations. You know, we never expect these things, but the pastor's going to be there. And when we have a time of deep need, we turn to the pastor. Who does the pastor turn to? How often our pastor has said to us, we have to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, Pastor Van Gelderen, what is the main thing? Outreach and discipleship. Our pastor tells us constantly, if we're succeeding in other areas of ministry, but we're not succeeding in outreach and discipleship, we're not really successful at all. Why is that? Because that's where the people are. Now, in conclusion, I want you to consider this multifaceted portrait as an example not just for our pastor, not just for Christian leaders, but for all of us. Why is that? Well, is this verse really essentially a description of Levi as a spiritual leader or even Phinehas? No. This verse is a reflection of Jesus Christ himself. Let's take another look. Malachi 2, verse 6. The law of truth was in his mouth. That's Jesus Christ. Iniquity was not found in his lips. There was no guile found in his mouth. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. This is a leadership portrait, not of any individual man, including our own pastor, for whom we are very grateful. This is an image of the Lord Jesus Christ that should be copied in every single person in this room. Jesus Christ is referred to in Hebrews chapter 3 as the high priest of our profession. He is set forth as the example we should follow. Hereunto were ye called, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Many Bible students think that Malachi himself, the author of this book, was probably a priest or a Levite. He's not looking down his nose at some Christian leaders and saying, you're doing it wrong, you need to shape up, be better. He's saying, this is a standard that we all need to live up to. How's your testimony today? Is the law of truth in your mouth? What a church this would be if every single word that was uttered here was Bible-based. Iniquity was not found in his lips. How's your personal walk of purity? He walked with me in peace and equity. Are you willing to take the stand with God that nobody else is willing to take? And did turn many away from iniquity. Let's bow our heads together, please.